I'm in California, around 100 miles inland from the coast and around 2.5 hours drive east of San Francisco. Tuolumne County is a beautiful rural area of rolling hills, fast-running rivers, woods and meadows. It's an outdoor lover's playground.
In the foothills right below Yosemite National Park. So a lot of people come up to visit the park. In the summertime, we have three lakes that we water ski, hike.
There's plenty of great stories about infamous or interesting people connected to these small Californian communities.
And Angel's Camp, which is where Mark Twain, this is his stomping grounds.
I'm going to spend most of my time around three small towns, all of which are within a short drive of each other, Sonora, Jamestown, and Columbia. These communities look like old Western towns because that's what they are. They were founded in the mid-19th century after word got out there was gold in these hills and how plentiful the precious metal was perceived to be.
They said there's so much gold out here, you could kick over a rock and find a gold nugget, or you could put grease all over your body, roll down the hill and get up and be covered in gold.
The word was, there's gold laying on the ground. You go to California and pick it up. And so these males would come out thinking that gold was going to be very easy and they were going to return in a few months. They'll go back to the east to home. And so they left their wives and family there when in fact, gold is not easy to find.
Mr. Woods and his partner, they showed up in 1849. There was a big gold rush happening and they were going to Coloma, which is not too far. It's 30, 40 miles from here. They were coming up this creek and they made camp on the side of the creek. And Mr. Woods went down to the creek to get a coffee pot full of water to make coffee. And he tripped over a quartz rock that had 75 pounds of gold in it at 12 ounces a pound.
You hear the area referred to as the Motherlode region. Again, it's a gold mining term relating to the principal vein of gold.
They believe that there was one big piece of gold someplace. And that's, they felt that it was somewhere in this area, so this is called the Motherlode.
There have been some recent gold finds in a nearby winery in a town called Murphy's. You can see the largest crystal and gold leaf specimen in the world. It weighs at 44 pounds, and it was found in 92.
And it was found on Christmas Eve, and the gold is embedded in quartz. It now sits in Calaveras County at Ironstone Winery.
And here's the exciting news. There's lots of gold waiting to be uncovered. Although locals' views differ on how much is actually there.
They only got 20% of the gold.
The geologists say that 90% of the gold is still in the ground.
Gold Prospecting Adventures of Jamestown can help you find your fortune. My guide, Frying Pan Frank, took me to a tree-shaded riverbank, 10 minutes walk from the town.
This is the creek in the bottom of the canyon where the water likes to go. The gravity's pulling it down that way. Gold is almost 20 times heavier than water. But if the water's running real fast and all of a sudden it slows down a little bit because it widens out, that gold can stop. And one piece of gold gets behind a big rock like where the fish would be. You can use your fishing skills to find the gold, everybody.
We've got the river flowing between two small waterfalls. The river's probably only about 10 feet across, and there's a stretch between the waterfalls, probably about 100 yards. Mm-hmm. The water doesn't look terribly deep, maybe 2-3 feet.
And below that is bedrock. Now, if all that rock and gravel is moving and the water's pushing it along, the gold wants to go down, but it can't get down any further. When it hits the bedrock and it finds a little indentation or a little crack in that bedrock, it'll stay there. And if the crack's quite wide, it can hold quite a bit of gold.
The pan used for sifting the gravel for gold had a design I found interesting. Ridges around the inside. It almost looked like the seating rows of an amphitheater when viewed from above.
And actually, the Chinese taught the old miners how to dent indentations in their pan similar to that fashion. The geometry is important because when you tilt your pan that far, it looks like you're pouring it out from this angle, but it's actually an optical confusion. When you look at it from down here, it's still uphill a little bit. And gold being the heaviest thing there is in the dirt, it doesn't like to go up.
It was time to sift. Frank showed me what he had in his pan.
You see that color?
Yeah, it's gold, isn't it?
Okay, so every one of those little pieces of gold counts. And if I make it into one little pile, and it's almost 22, 23 karat gold, it's almost pure gold. And I can take that down to the jeweler, maybe twice that much I have here in my pan, and I could make a nice big ring out of it, turn it into 14 karat gold.
There's a way to describe the size of pieces. and it relates to poo.
It starts out at mosquito poop, and then it works its way to fly, and then bumblebee, then dragonfly, then mouse, then deer, then bear, then elephant, right? I'd like to find an elephant size.
Come here, and at least you'll have something to add to your CV.
After you find the gold, that's when you become a miner.
I headed back into Jamestown for a tour with local hotelier and historian Stephen Wiley. He's been working hard to promote the area since he moved in 74. The community had fallen on hard times after the Second World War, when the American government enforced cessation of mining to preserve gold reserves. Now, thanks in the main to Stephen's efforts, the town's been revitalised and it's on the tourist trail, but not too touristy. Although Jamestown has that Wild West appearance, there are few buildings remaining from the mid-19th century gold rush years. That's partly down to the miners' love of booze.
Initially, everything was built out of wood, and you put a lot of males with a drink in one hand and a lantern in the other. They're going to drop them, burn them, and the buildings catch fire.
Jamestown has a steam train attraction that you might have seen on screen. It's home to Railtown 1897, named after the year in which the Sierra Railway was incorporated. It was built to carry wood, lumber. When that business dried up, filmmakers kept the railroad going. Hollywood started shooting movies there as early as 1917. And Jamestown marks this with a walk of fame.
And there's a map, starting where we're standing in Rocker Park, guiding us towards Railtown with numbers.
That's
so
right.
The numbers relate to the movies.
And you can catch them going right on up, right up the street.
Over 200 movies and TV shows have featured Railtown over the years, including the film High Noon and the TV series Little House on the Prairie. If you're more interested in the trains, you can go on a tour of the Roundhouse. That's the engineering building with a pit underneath, which allowed engineers to get under the locos.
Only one of two working roundhouses in the country, and it's fantastic. You can take a ride on steam trains.
Each year, between April and September, you can take a 45-minute round-trip ride through 6 miles of scenic gold country, pulled by a steam or diesel locomotive. I headed back to my accommodation, Stevens Hotel, and that's been on TV too, on the American version of Most Haunted.
We have a lot of visitors come for mainly reasons of paranormal rather than just history itself.
In the lobby, there's a plaque, verification from a psychic that there is a ghost. So who is haunting the National Hotel?
Flo, a woman who apparently died in the late 1890s.
Stephen told me he's had a number of encounters with the ghost.
She was ringing wind chimes on a day when there was no wind, and I had to ask her to stop ringing them, and she did.
Well, I spent the night there, and I had a perfect night's sleep and no visitations that I'm aware of. The 1859-built National Hotel is incredible. It's almost like staying on the set of The High Chaparral. The cream-painted wooden hotel is full of charm, and the rooms have plush dark fabrics and antique Victorian furniture. Although the spacious ensuite bathrooms offer all mod cons you'd expect, they've retained hardwood floors and a toilet flushed by a chain, and the showerhead ceramic. The hotel's got a fantastic restaurant too, and Stephen's team pride themselves on sourcing food locally, growing their own herbs and veg, and making their own bread. You can find out more at national-hotel.com. Jamestown's shopping street is compact, but there are some sizable antique shops and a few bookstores to get lost in. I was amused by the sign outside the Hair Shack Barbers. They offer $13 haircuts with a free beer. Next, we'll visit the town where Gold Rush history comes to life, and I experience daylight robbery.
Get your hands up, get them hands up, get them up.
And
them up.
Why pairing your wine with paint is popular in this part of California. Great Destinations Radio Show. This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. And today I'm in Tuolumne County in California. It's on the eastern side of the state's central region. The rolling Golden Hills contain seams of gold, and its discovery put this area at the center of the world-famous gold rush. Jamestown is a small country town of just 3,500 people. This picturesque and historic community is set around one main street with movie set appeal.
Because in the American West, this is authentic.
15 minutes away is the smaller town of Columbia. Its historic centre's been preserved as a state park. You can walk streets where cars have been replaced by horse-drawn carriages. Workers wearing period costumes wander around playing penny whistles as they recreate the arts and crafts of the era, including forging metal in the blacksmith workshop. There you can buy horseshoe art. Debbie Fitzgerald works as a park aide.
We are truly a living museum. We do have 33 original buildings, and they were constructed after our first fire of 1854.
News of the discovery of gold in Colombia spread rapidly, and people flooded into this previously lowly populated region.
Well, the word got out rather quickly, and within 2 weeks, 2,000 to 4,000 men came here looking for their fortunes as well. Now, the biggest nugget was said to be 9 pounds, and in those prices, about $2,600.
Soon, a sizable town had sprung up in Colombia.
We had up to about 10,000 people here. We were about a mile in diameter with 150 businesses. Of course, a quarter of those were saloons, gambling halls, 3 theaters, 24/7, and on Sunday was the big event. The men would have a pit where they would bring a bull and a bear out, and they would gamble upon that as well. Of course, that would have all changed once the proper women, the wives of those miners, came to town.
Although the population soon drifted away, Colombia never became a ghost town, and it remains a real place with businesses, bars, a bakery and a hotel you can stay in. Visitors can come and look around as they please. There's no walls, no last admission time, no entry fee. You don't even pay to park. You can wander around the shops or pan for gold or make candles.
Most of our visitors is taking a historic stagecoach ride through the old mines.
I took the trip and hauled myself onto one of the large coach wheels so I could then clamber across to take a position up front next to the driver, Tom Fraser.
We go out through the area that they did all the mining in and go out through the backwoods, and you can see the countryside a little bit.
Every few seconds, Tom would break off from his conversation to call out one of the horses' names. They clearly obey his commands.
Jimmy, get up there.
It's a pleasant and informative ride. Throughout the trip, Tom shares stories of Colombia's past.
Get up there now.
The unexpected. Right now, a highway robbery.
Whoa.
A gunman hiding his identity with a handkerchief mask jumped out from the rocks at the side of the path.
Driver, turn out his gold shipment.
Mister, we're not carrying any gold today, just passengers.
No gold? What's in your pockets, mister?
Well, my pockets is just as empty, mister. I lost most of it last night in a card game.
Well, I hope you're a better driver than a card player, for these folks' sake. How about you, mister? You got any gold?
No gold, sorry.
Sure, you can't even afford a razor. What am I talking to you for, by the way?
One of Tuolumne County's local produce success stories is its cider farm and distillery. It's called the Indigene Reserve.
We've had over 1 million pounds of apples we grew this year, and we go through a constant process of pressing. We're full organic.
To reach the cidery, you drive along a single-track lane through woods and alongside a babbling brook, which you cross by driving over a covered bridge. The 160-acre site has its own abandoned gold mine, but owner Jay Watson hasn't found a fortune there so far.
Both my sons have dug quite deep into it and haven't found anything yet.
Jay's tasting room is in a big barn-style building packed with arts and craft items. Jay had no experience of cider making before he launched this business 9 years ago. He used to work in the communications industry with Hilltop masts and aerials.
I retired and ended up buying a piece of property with some apple trees on it. Decided I wanted to make it organic, which takes 3 years to get it certified. In that process, we began to realize that about 50% of the apples would not be available for the market because they'd have blemishes and problems with them. Did not want to waste that 50%. So what we did is began to study the making of hard cider. And in that process of doing the hard cider, we began to recognize that we still would have waste. And that's the reason we ended up with a still, and we start making brandy and vodka from it. So we have zero waste of the product itself.
I asked Jay whether he was a cider connoisseur before he started the business.
Never tasted it before.
Really?
Never.
In the States, cider is normally a non-alcoholic apple drink. If you want what we call cider, you need to ask for hard cider.
Now, we had started making cider in approximately 2008. And we were doing testing to see what the palate would be that the individuals like. If you're European, you like a dry cider. If you're American, you like a sweet cider, so we ended up making a very sweet cider.
There are, of course, vineyards and wineries in this part of California, and a good place to sample what's on offer is the Inner Sanctum Cellar Tasting Rooms on Jamestown's Main Street, where you sit on red plastic stools next to a bar faced with corrugated iron. Cindy George says Inner Sanctum Cellars offer tastings of wine from the immediate area.
Between Calaveras County and Tuolumne County, we're hitting the wine scene pretty good.
I drove on to the regional center of Sonora, about 15 minutes from Jamestown. There's a military veterans museum complete with a bronze-tipped black torpedo missile in the back. It looks like a deadly Duracell battery. On the upside, the town's got plenty of craft shops and galleries. It's quite vibrant. It's an artsy place with a strong sense of community. I had admired the bold colours used in a depiction of fruit and veg at the side of the lots used for the farmer's market. It's one of many works created by renowned local artist Judy Grossman. Judy offers a unique way to sample local vintages and to develop artistic skills at the same time through her wine and painting sessions with her business, Brush and Cork. It's a bit like painting by numbers. The outline of the image is prepared and everybody works on the same picture.
We supply all the pre-drawn canvases and paint and brushes and aprons and easels and full instruction. And in 2 to 3 hours, people leave with a finished painting.
Judy says these sessions are social, not serious.
Lots of people have never painted before in their lives. They enjoy themselves, they relax, they have a glass of wine, and some of their inhibitions are relaxed a little.
If you haven't painted previously, you will pick up new skills.
You know, they learn things without realizing it. You know, how to mix paint, how to use the paint, how to blend, how to make color.
Judy says she's often touched by the positive feedback she receives.
Someone wrote me and said, I drive to work every morning looking at the mountains and the sunrise, and for 13 years I've taken the same drive every day and I never realized how beautiful it was.
Go to brushandcork.com to check the times when Judy has sessions. I visited Tuolumne County in the early spring. The hills were a beautiful, lush green colour. Could have been an island. But Cindy told me it's not always like this.
Then in the summertime, it gets into the hundreds, and it's all brown. It's a chaparral. You ever watch the cowboy movies? That's what we're living.
In the spring, summer, or autumn, you can easily access the 1,200 square miles of Yosemite. This national park is known for its striking glacier-carved granite cliff landscape and deep gorges. Stephen recommended a trip into the park, 45 minutes drive from Jamestown.
It's just so beautiful that no matter where you stand, you're going to feel the power of Mother Nature. And that's what it's all about.
It's an intimate park with very, very tall walls. You know, the round half dome and the falls and the water and the valley itself.
And Judy says that incredible mountain is one sight you should aim to see.
Half Dome is a giant, gargantuous boulder that people climb that looks like some giant person took a hacksaw to it and carved off the face of it, so it's flat on the face and rounded on the back. So that's how it's got its name, Half Dome.
If you've been to the west coast of the USA but you've only seen the cities, then you're missing a different side of California. You'll find that small town charm and slower pace of life in Tuolumne County's small towns. They're friendly and filled with arts and antique stores. The dining options are excellent, and whether you're eating or drinking, chances are the farm-to-table food hasn't travelled very far at all. To reach Jamestown, take a low-cost Norwegian flight from London Gatwick to Oakland, California. You can book the 11-hour non-stop service for around £180 one way, then hire a car for the 2-hour drive to Jamestown. Find out more at visittuolumne.com. It's spelled Tuolumne.
The Great Destinations Radio Show.